Welcome to episode 2 of Taz Racing Kennel Talk. I'm Matt Reed for TazRacing.com.au, joined by Brennan Ryan to discuss greyhound racing in the state. Welcome, Brennan.
Morning, Matt. Great to be back into the swing of it. And we're two meetings down, and it's been a great result so far.
Absolutely. Well, we had our pilot episode, so to speak, last week leading into the return to racing, but we've, of course, now had Launceston on Monday and Devonport on Tuesday. We'll get to the meeting in Devonport yesterday where you and your family had a great time of it. We might kick things off with a return program in Launceston on Monday night. You mentioned it last week. It was a program that was very much focused on the shorter sprint races as we look to, I guess, build the fitness of the dogs that we have here in Tasmania. 9 of the 10 races over the 278 metres, and it looked a bit of a mixture of results between favourites and longer-priced runners for punters.
It certainly did. There was a couple of runners there that that surprised everybody because they had no form over 278, and they took a first crack at it. There's the likes of Fairy Tale Youth, who stepped up, had a couple of attempts at it, but really come to the play for Alan Clark and ran a real good race there. There was a couple others in there, I thought. You know, you look at the, there was another one, Riverbank, in the last race there for Darren Critchley. He was another good performer, come off from box 8, and that's hard to do when it's a speed track, when you're coming from 278, and it did really well to get to the line.
So. Yeah, well, going into the program, certainly the highest profile greyhound on the card was 2019 Greyhound of the Year finalist, Hello Rhonda, and she managed to get the job done at an odds-on price.
She was really impressive for Robin Grubb. She came out running 16.07 off box 3. Look, it's not, I wouldn't say that's her pet distance. She's a 500-metre bitch, and she's well proven on that, winning a Launceston Cup. Look, I see her going to improve leaps and bounds, heading towards, you know, some of the major races towards the end of the year, and that was a good pipe opener, and I know Connections were just happy to get her back on the track. She's rising close to 4 years of age, so it was a great start to get her back to the track.
Absolutely, and I guess all trainers of greyhounds that had a runner on Monday night, of course, received the Ladbrokes Fast Start bonus of $100 per runner, which is certainly a bonus there. Going forward for punters, Brennan, what do you think are the main takeouts from that meeting in Launceston? Like we said, we had so many races over the short sprint trip. I guess there'll be a lot of forgive runs going forward.
Certainly will. There is one runner in particular, a bitch called Leprechaun Dance for Gary Johnson. She was very impressive running second in her race. Look, I've liked her even before... well before the shutdown. She was a real impressive 500-metre bitch. She's won at Hobart, she's won at Devonport, and, you know, forget the run. She had to come from a wide draw. She'll improve next week. She's back up. You know, the next time she goes around, you just want to earmark her because she'll definitely improve, that's for sure.
Well, that ability to handle the different tracks that we have here in Tassie is obviously important, isn't it? You do find a lot of dogs are suited just to one of the three tracks.
Yeah, you can get a track specialist that is just suited, but if you can get one like, say, for example, like Leprechaun Dance, that's a real asset, especially if she can handle most tracks. Early speed has got to be crucial, and she's got good customary speed from the boxes. So she, there's a lot to play out from, 278 meeting contest and going forward, that's for sure.
Sure. Well, she was in race 2, finishing behind Fairy Tale Youth. Catch that replay on tazracing.com.au. Following Launceston, we went to Devonport on Tuesday. Just the 6 races, Brennan. Keen to hear your thoughts on, the lack of numbers and lack of races there. Devonport, the shortest distance they can run over is 452 metres, whereas Launceston has the 278 and Hobart 340. No doubt that would have played a part.
It certainly would. What happens is the general discretion, when the nominations started out for the 3 meetings, Launceston is first cab off the ranks when you go to nominate. So a lot of the dogs would have headed there first to nominate over 278. With all those dogs getting into that meeting, a lot of them held back and and there was not much left to head over to Devonport. With the class there, there was the six races. There wasn't much in depth. There was a couple of class runners, which we'll touch on shortly. But and then the fact that the local trainers in Hobart opted in staying there as well, and they've hooked into being at 3:40. They're comfortable knowing where they, you know, where they've been, and I think look, in a couple of weeks, Devonport will build back up.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned the depth probably wasn't there, but you can only beat what you're up against. And your family's, your dad, Pat, took a very strong team to the races in Devonport yesterday. It looked on paper that you'd have a big day. It doesn't always play out that way, but thankfully on Tuesday it did. Three winners and an unlucky second in the last with Ned Isakov. You would have been very happy with how your dogs performed.
Oh, certainly, Matt. To get a treble with the SH Avatar litter was pretty impressive. Handsome Prince was very strong, running 25.80, come from box three and had to work through the field. Splotch was another good runner. She ran 26.17. Savage Rick had to come off box eight, which he wasn't the best to begin, but he showed great acceleration when he hit the corner and just drove away from him. And Ned Isakov, look, when he got into that top grade, we knew, you know, he had his box, but when we go up against the likes of Lycra Prayer, who's a track specialist, a Devonport Cup, Devonport Chase runner-up, and she was going to be hard to beat, but Ned done a terrific job, and we're very proud of what they've done to get him back, that's for sure.
Absolutely, it's a fantastic achievement, training half the card there. You mentioned the litter, and we saw those dogs run the first four in the Breeders' Classic in Launceston just prior to the coronavirus shutdown. Look, of those four, Brennan, in your opinion, which will be the better performed dog going into the future?
We had an idea when they went through that Breeders' Classic that they were still coming through the ranks. But since the 2 month spell away from racing, Handsome Prince has really come on as the best runner in the field. He's really improved with his trials and is doing a lot better. Ava Wine is another dog who's still there, and Savage Victor's come through he's come through leaps and bounds, and then there's Splotch. She's just a one pace bitch. She may get to 600 metres in the future, but in the long term we want to keep her at 500 as much as we can, because there's still a few races that this litter's eligible for, and you know, we'll just worry about that down the track, but we want to keep them you know, where we can suit them at the best of their ability, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, great achievement, as we said yesterday, with three winners there in Devonport. It was a day where punters were firmly on top through the first four races, all odds on favourites before a little bit of value in the back half of the back two races, Buckle Up Ronan at 8.50 in race five, and the final race where Lycra Prayer, who just loves the Devonport circuit. Any particular runners of note to take out of that Devonport meeting, Brennan?
Look, there was two runners in particular, Willie's Falls for Josh Ryan. He's a very good dog. He's a speed runner. When he hits the front, he's hard to beat. The bitch that beat him was Splotch. She's very strong over the line and was going to run him down in the race. But I'd earmark him to follow and Buckle Up the Zoner. He's a fantastic dog for trainer Gary Johnson. He ran third in his race in the Invitation, and look, just keep an eye on him. He'll bounce back, and once we get back into racing, he'll get right into where his ability sits, and he'll be hard to beat for sure in the coming months.
Willie's Falls was in race three, finishing second to Splotch and Buckle Up as owner in the last race of the day. It sounds like they can be winning soon. And we move to Hobart on Thursday night, a massive 12-race program there, Brennan. It kicks off just prior to 7 o'clock at 6:51, the first and the last at 10:38. I'd imagine it'll be fairly chilly in Hobart by the last of the night, but plenty for punters to get stuck into, and great to see owners and connections to have plenty of opportunities to race in Hobart on Thursday night.
It's well supported, and the club should be really pleased with the nominations they've received for the meeting. Their leading trainers down there, Ted Medhurst and Debbie Cannon, have hit them with numbers, and Ted's no stranger to having a good dog come around the Hobart circuit, and he's got a few runners lined up throughout the card that it should be real hard to beat, and so is Debbie Cannon. She's got two runners in particular with Amy Cora and Kintyre that should really fire up, and it'll be interesting to see how they've progressed since the 2 months since we've been in the shutdown.
Absolutely. Amy Cora was flying prior to the coronavirus and forced shutdown. 4 of 4 in Hobart, 9 of 12 in her career. Comes up with a 4 box tomorrow night, Brennan. Just a 1 run for Amy Cora from the 4 draw where she was unplaced. You think she'll be winning tomorrow night?
Look, on reports, look, it's unofficial, but on reports that she's coming back really well. She's trialled in great stead, in ready for this race. I think she'll be a lot more of a matured bitch heading into racing now. And look, whether or not I'm hoping she wins her connections, but whether she places, she's going to be really strong because she's just a great bitch. She can do it from both ends in the race. She's a great commodity for Debbie Cannon, that's for sure.
From a betting perspective, I'd imagine the price might dictate whether you get involved there off a couple of month break. And from that box, if you're asked to take a short price, it might be worth looking elsewhere.
Yeah, certainly. There is another kennel made in the race called Whiskey River. It came off winning the maiden series at Devonport last year, and it's a great little greyhound. It's got the inside draw. It'll be hard to beat, and as well if we can run in the placings. And look, there is a little bit of value. Casino Ace is in there as well. So look, it's going to be a testing for punters, but look, there's good chances not only in that race but amongst the card as well. So
absolutely. Well, with 12 races on the program, if that race is a little bit more difficult, you should be able to find something in the other races to get involved with. Have you had much of a chance to look at the form yet, Brennan? And if so, any that you're keen on tomorrow?
I'm really keen on in race 2 in the maiden, Gershwin Rhythm for Peter Higgins. It's got the inside draw. It's knocking on the door, and I think this is a chance where everything should line up and it'd be hard to beat. It's not an overall strong maiden. There's a couple of first starters in there from Susan Geddes. Yes, Rosie and Stanchfield. But I think, and Peter's panel's in a great run at the moment, as we saw with Manners Matter on Monday night. I think this should be an added bonus if Gershwin Witham gets up, makes it a good week for his team.
Race 2, number 1, Gershwin Rhythm. We will eagerly await some prices and jump on that one by the sounds of it. Brennan, some Tasmanian greyhounds or Tasmanian dogs with an interest tasted success interstate this week as well, I understand.
Yes, trainer Ben England, as we know, is based up at Devonport. He took the option to send a couple of dogs over to Victoria during the midst of the COVID-19 shutdown. And so far, he's had Windburn Dancer and Windburn Lethal were successful last week. Windburn Dancer won at Warragul on the Tuesday, running 25.83. Windburn Lethal came out at Sandown Park on Thursday, running 29.71. Look, the best of the night on that program was 29.20. You can take into account with Windburn Lethal, she's got early speed, and that's crucial to winning races in Victoria because that's what a lot of trainers rely on to have for greyhounds good early manners to come out of the box. And I keep an eye on her. She should improve. Look, I don't think the connections are looking, to see her go into leaps and bounds, but I think she should progress into a handy type. And the trainer, Jackie Greeno, and her husband, Cal Greeno, they do a terrific job with their dogs over there. And hopefully the success continues.
Yeah, absolutely. Just returning to the local scene, Brennan, the race programming out now until the end of July. We mentioned on the podcast last week the change of race name to honour the late Shane Yates with the Shane Yates Memorial Cup final will be run in Launceston on the 27th of July. I'm sure there'll be plenty of trainers hoping to take out the inaugural race in Shane's name. Were there any other points of interest to come out of the programming for the next sort of 6 weeks?
There's also the Ladbrokes Illingworth Classic has now been rescheduled. It's been picked up and it's originally run around this time of the year, but it's now been moved to August. The heats are on the 3rd and the finals on the 10th of August. It's a $14,000 Tasbred race, and that's the major pinnacle event for Tasbred greyhounds here in Tasmania. And the age limit has been opened up a bit so that greyhounds can come into the event. And I think, you know, it's going to be some older dogs into the event, plus a lot of the young dogs that are coming through. And I think it'll make for a good series at Launceston, and it'll make the Shane Yates Memorial Cup will make a good lead-up race into that event. The other thing is to mention too that the Breeders' Classic series that was to happen in Hobart around this time of the year, now it has been rescheduled. It's still held around. It's now held more into the month of July next month, and there's a lot of young greyhounds that'll will make it into that as well. And that's always a great series to pinpoint a lot of debutants that come out of that, because the each Breeders' Classic series that's held at Hobart, Launceston and Devonport always produces a good runner to follow, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, there's plenty to look forward to. Of course, the Ladbrokes bonuses on the races, and an extra $350 for every greyhound winner up until the 25th of June, still giving plenty for connections in the short term. Brennan, we're successfully through two meetings in the return week for greyhound racing. You must be very excited to have racing back.
Oh, certainly. It's like a long lost family member. It's great to have it back in, back in the routine. And I think participants are, you know, they're very pleased to see racing return. And I think we'll, we'll see a lot of interest going forward in the weeks and months. And I think there'll be plenty of runners to pinpoint as we go through the weeks, and hopefully we can find a winner or two. That's for sure.
Excellent. Well, look forward to it. Really appreciate your time again on Taz Racing Kennel Talk, Brennan. Look forward to chatting with you again next week.
Matt, it's a pleasure as always, and I'll talk to you next week.